From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 13th day of December 2018. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. We'll check in on the agricultural news for the day. Yesterday, the House passed the Farm Bill. It's made it through the Senate already this week, and it'll be likely signed by the president sometime next week, as it takes a bit for the paperwork to all be put on his desk. And then a bit later in the program, we'll discuss the weather forecast, that with Mike Tenor at T-Storm Weather in Chicago, Illinois, and take a look at the cash grain market, too. Matt Bennett from Bennett Consulting Channel Seeds will be here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, on this Thursday afternoon, let's take a look at what happened in the marketplace with Dan Zwicker at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Good afternoon to you, Dan. Thanks for being with us.
Hi, Todd.
Well, I want to talk about the downturn in the soybeans today, but I'm hopeful that you'll put it in context of maybe the move that started to happen after the Xi-Trump meeting in Argentina. The purchases that were made, and I think it's about 40 million or something like that, bushels of beans. Officially, it was 1.13 million tons as of the USDA numbers, and there may be some more left to come. But what's this move look like to you in the market?
Well, I think you have to, the way the market has performed over the past couple of weeks, I mean, we were kind of in a oversold condition just before the meeting down at Buenos Aires happened. The market recovered a little bit going into that meeting on optimism that maybe something might happen. And then, of course, after the meeting, then we did have an announcement that things went good and China agreed to this and agreed to that, but nobody really knew what they agreed to, if they agreed to anything. But whatever, the markets did gap higher on that Monday night, and we've been basically kind of grinding higher ever since then. And yesterday we kind of put in a short-term high, and on the announcements that China did buy some beans, but, you know, it's like with most sales, it's always, you know, buy the rumor, sell the news. And I think today being a Friday, and then we've got kind of an unusual situation next week. We, you know, I don't really want to call it Christmas week, but we're going to start seeing trade volume begin to crank down because the following week with Christmas on a Tuesday, you got New Year's Eve on a Monday. So you're going to have a lot of people take a four-day weekend, and they may end up making turning the whole thing into a nine-day weekend starting on Monday. So we're going to go into holiday-type trade. So I think a setback in here, when I look at the technical indicators, is not surprising. We're due for something like this, some period, a setback, a period of consolidation. Now, the big question is how deep does it go, and do we get another sale announcement next week? Do we get another small sales announcement? Even though the trade is somewhat disappointed, and I think the trade is skeptical of how much China may or may not buy, they may not want to be a big short just yet anyway, because we don't know what's happening. But like I talked last week, it takes time to put these sales together. You just don't make one phone call. There's a lot of logistics to go together to kind of get a sale put together, get the trains running on time, getting the cargoes where they want to be, getting the ships where they want to be. And then all of a sudden, you know, we can start making some sale announcements. So I don't think, you know, probably since we're going into the holidays and whatnot, we may not see a lot of sale announcements until we get through the holidays and we start seeing what January's like, and we'll kind of have to take it from there. But on a short-term cyclical basis, I think the last time I talked to you, it looked like we were the window was open anyway for both soybeans and corn to at least strengthen, you know, into the end of the year, first part of next year, and then we would be ready for more of a meaningful setback maybe during the month of January. But we'll just have to take one day at a time. But I think today was more of a buy the rumor, sell the news type deal. A lot of skepticism yet on what kind of how much China will buy. But one thing I see interesting on the chart, the corn bulls will like this. Maybe this will be what you do to put the top in the corn market. But you got December contract expiring here today. And so starting Monday morning, the March contract is going to be the lead futures contract, and it is going to become lead futures contract about 9 to 10 cents above the December contract. So when you look at a continuous daily chart, and this is a chart, you just stay with the continuous chart or the contract until it expires, and when it expires, then you start charting the next in line chart. So on a continuous daily chart, you're going to have March futures going to be trading above that double top in December futures, which is around that 380 level, I think. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with this chart gap. It is going to be a transitional chart gap, and we'll kind of see what happens. Maybe next week will be one of those weeks, like I said, that'll be consolidation, a little pullback, and we'll see how much of that transitional chart gap we kind of fill. But it's really going to open up the technical picture on the corn market to be quite supportive going into the first of the year. So we'll just have to kind of see how that plays out. Generally speaking, I think, you know, a setback, probably there's farmers that probably need to do some selling before the end of the year for tax purposes or cash flow purposes, whatever. So kind of a setback next week, and then we kind of go into a Christmas week period, and we'll kind of go from there, and we'll see if we get any new China sale announcements. My guess is that we'll start getting some, but they're going to be slow to materialize, but I think we'll start getting a steady diet of them. One of these days, they're going to turn the corner, and we're going to get a steady diet of them. And whether or not that pushes the market higher or just provides underlying support, we'll just have to kind of wait and see how that plays out, Todd.
Yeah, so since that December contract expires tomorrow on Friday, and we do have, you know, the overnight trade and the morning trade tomorrow before that happens, is it likely or could it be that it will close that, or you just think it won't and we'll have to deal with the rest of it next week?
That's something that I'll be watching, is what happens tomorrow if we lose. You know, tomorrow, you know, corn could close down 5 cents, and basically what we're doing is we're just transitioning the spot contract from December to March, and there may not be that chart gap on Monday morning. But that's something that I'm watching, that if the corn market holds firm tomorrow, and then all of a sudden we start next week with the March contract in the mid 380s rather than the mid 370s, that could be quite interesting. And my guess is if that happens, we would probably still have somewhat of a setback, but the 380s would then all of a sudden become support because we're dealing with the March contract rather than the December contract. And of course, it keeps corn in that upward trend. It's been both beans and corn still staying at uptrending channel since we made those lows, you know, they're about middle part of September toward the end of September. One cautionary note that, you know, I know this is kind of off the rails a little bit, but I always watch the first day of spring, first day of summer, first day of winter for possible turns in the marketplace or for possible things to happen that could impact the market. And we're going to get real close to December 21st here next week. So that'll be something to kind of watch, see how the markets perform around that time frame. That's usually a time frame for maybe a weather pattern shift to take place. Maybe one could turn more bullish out of South America. Maybe they turn hot and dry. So I do think that maybe next week we could see some change in news that might be a little bit more supportive. But on the other hand, it could be negative, too.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate you taking the time with me today.
Very well, Todd.
Dan Zwicker is with Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. In today's agricultural news, we'll start with a press conference that Mike Conaway, who chaired the House Agriculture Committee, he's a Republican from Texas, had this morning to celebrate the passage of the Farm Bill. However, in that 30-minute interview, he was asked a question about the intentions of the administration going forward into next year, which Sonny Perdue has told us, he's the Secretary of Agriculture, is to not offer up a payment to farmers for the 19 growing season as it relates to soybeans and or corn, the tariffs and the trade policies that have been put in place and are part of the battle lines between the United States and China. The question was, would Congress be willing to take up some legislation that might compensate producers if the tariff policies were to continue? Mr. Conaway didn't answer that question. He chose to answer a question about the second round of the market facilitation payments. It's important to listen to all of his response.
You know, they did do a tranche of that in September to address that issue. I think certainly the White House understands why they did it in September and why they're talking about not doing it. Hopefully, that means they're closer to getting a deal. We've in this bill made the market access program and the foreign market development program permanent. And the funding is permanent so that those organizations and entities that help pitch American agricultural products across the world know now that they're going to be able to be in business and stay in business going forward. And the trading partners they've got that they're developing will also know that. But the real issue is to get the White House to get these things done as quickly as possible. I don't know that any of our producers really want ad hoc help. They would rather have the trade deals done and the assurances and stability that having trade deals done is much better than dependent on coming and going ad hoc help that we saw in September. But I thought there was one more tranche. I haven't seen the announcement yesterday, I guess you must have, where they've said they're not going to do a second one. I'd heard somebody else told me that there was going to be a second one. But our producers would rather have the trade deals done, and that's been my voice to the president and to Lighthizer et al., is get this done as quickly as possible because the turmoil, the uncertainty in these markets is causing great anxiety among producers across this country, as well as economic harm for those that are trying to hang on at the bank day to day. The quicker we get these trade things established and done, the better.
Again, that's Texas Republican Mike Conaway, who chairs the House Agriculture Committee, responding to a question that was asked earlier today during a teleconference. A bit later in that same conference, the media asked for a clarification about his MFP response.
Chairman John Harris from Farm Journal. Circling back to MFP, if I could just clarify, are you saying that you are seeing signals that there may not be a second tranche of payments?
No, I'm basically my comments off what you guys said. I haven't seen anything one way or the other, and I've been pretty focused on just the Farm Bill, so I may have missed it. But I haven't seen anything one way or the other. The last information I had is that there was a second tranche possible, and I haven't seen anything definitive one way or the other.
So I suppose the news here is that there really isn't news, that this press conference was about the Farm Bill. And up until the point that this question was asked about next year's legislative agenda as it relates to payments to farmers, it had only been about the Farm Bill, and Chairman Conaway chose to bring in the MFP and then to go on and answer the actual question. It's hard to judge what that means other than to say things are still up in the air as it relates to the second tranche of the market facilitation payment. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. Matt Bennett of Bennett Consulting Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois, now joins us to take a look at the marketplace as it relates to the cash grain. He is in Windsor. Thanks, Matt, for being with us today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
So we have this 12-cent drop in the soybean market today. Start there. And if you want to talk about the 15-cent up in the wheat market, you can do that too.
Well, you know, it's interesting. In my opinion, the worst-kept secret in the world that the Chinese were going to start buying some soybeans, you know, and I've had people talk to me this week a little bit. Man, they can't wait till they buy these beans. They think the lid's going to come off the market. I just don't agree. When you look at world and U.S. fundamentals, if they open back up the market, that's great, and I'm really happy for it. But looking at fundamentals, do you think this is a classic buy the rumor, sell the fact? I mean, I had a guy text me this morning, and it says, what the crap's going on with this bean market? You know, it's supposed to be going higher. The Chinese are buying. I said, well, that's not the way it always works. And I do think that in the grand scheme of things, anybody in and around the market's well aware that overall we've got more beans than what we know what to do with. And the Chinese, they could buy 10 times what they've already bought, and it's probably not going to create, it's not going to create a shortage by any means.
You know, so for you, it's just the fact that we have 955 million bushels as a carryout at this point, and 40 million, which I think is what they've bought thereabouts so far, and they might have a 900,000 more ton to go, which is about half of what they purchased. I think purchase was said to be 2 million tons total, so the 40 or 44 or whatever it was they bought today is about half of that. Just isn't going to make that big a dent, I guess.
No, I don't think so. I think producers have to take a strong look and just say, hey, you know, how do these prices look to me in the grand scheme of things? What kind of money can I make whenever I'm looking at, you know, November 19 beans in excess of 950? And I know that it's not as rosy as what we've seen the last few years, but by all means, you know, we've been bumping up on 975 the last couple of days. We had several guys say, hey, we want to step in and get a hold of some of that. And I think the name of the game is profit per acre, and there's no guarantees we're going to get to 10 this year. And I think with this excitement over China, unless we get some sort of a major commitment from them, you know, where they're going to get anywhere close to what they've done the last few years. We got a huge commitment like that. Yeah, I could see us running up onto those levels. I just don't see a whole lot more in it than what we've already gotten.
Yeah, so what you're trying to tell me, I think, is it depends on what the president thinks tremendous amount might mean. Those are his words, and I guess that's where we stand today.
Well, I was trying to quantify how tremendous and huge relate to one another, because I don't know what these numbers mean. But bottom line is, he's saying tremendous. I don't know that he understands how tremendous the gap is from what they normally buy to what they are buying.
Nor would you expect him to understand it, probably, without some explanation, that's for sure. Anything on the corn market before I let you go?
I think the corn market looks like it's withholding very well. Great day, considering beans, and I'm still patient here. I think if the bean market doesn't get smoked, I think we're going to be steady to higher with the corn market. I see a supportive market.
Okay, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
Matt Bennett is with Bennett Consulting Channel Seeds. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for this Thursday afternoon. Mike Tenner is here. He is with T-Storm Weather out of Chicago. Good afternoon to you, Mike. Thanks for being with us today.
Great being here, Todd. Thanks for having me on.
I'd like to talk about South America to begin with. There have been some rumblings for a while now, and I think we can see this on the map, that at least for 10 or 12 days that parts of Brazil have been a little on the dry side. What do you think?
Well, it certainly has been pretty dry in southern Brazil. About 40% of the first corn crop was drier than normal over the last 30 days, and a similar amount of the soybean crop. That would be a concern if not for the forecast. We do have a lot of rain that will begin to affect that area starting up in about 5 days from now. The reason we're going to see this wetter period is because a cool front is going to drift northward from Argentina, then lay out over southern Brazil, and that will help to ignite a number of thunderstorm clusters. We're looking for fairly heavy rainfall in that region. This would again start in about 5 days from now, and over the 5 to 10 day period, rainfall totals of 2 to 5 inches are fairly probable. So that will essentially wipe out the dryness issue, especially for soybeans. For corn, you could argue that they're in the pollination phase, so some of this dry weather is poorly timed, even if it rains a bit later. it has been pretty hot there lately, but only in the last few days. Prior to the last couple of days when high temperatures topped out at near 100, it was pretty cool out for the 2 weeks previous. So it's just a tricky situation, but nothing alarming at the moment.
Further south in Argentina, are they suffering from dry weather as well?
Well, they were as of mid-November. This is about 30 days ago. A lot of Argentina was dry. But then what happened is that around November 12th, a major rain event hit the entire growing belt, and that wiped out the dryness problem. Since then, it hasn't rained much at all. But it did start to rain a little bit here over the last couple of days, and we're looking for some big totals over the next 5 days. That same setup that we talked about for southern Brazil and into Paraguay is affecting Argentina, or about to affect Argentina, over the next 5 days. So they're looking for some pretty big rains as well. 1 to 2 inches on the low side in the southern growing areas, and 2 to 5 inches in those central and northern areas. So dryness is just not going to be a problem in Argentina or southern Brazil and Paraguay through the end of the month.
Speaking of rains, I take it we're expected to get some rainfall, even right locally here, starting today and tomorrow.
Well, we are, and that's all part of this large warm-up that's been taking place. We had an Arctic air mass in place for most of the last 4 to 5 weeks. That's diminishing now and exiting, and it's being replaced by Pacific origin air. So that air is a lot milder, and because of that, we'll see high temperatures in the 30s, 40s, and 50s over a lot of the next 5 to 10 days. But after that is where the concerns start to develop. It will turn a lot colder, more than likely, just a day or two before Christmas. And the big uncertainty regards how cold is it going to get. We know it will turn colder, but we're just not certain how cold it will be. There's some indications that we could see the coldest air across North America dip into parts of the northern U.S., but that's not a certainty by any means. At the same time, there's still some indications that we'll see a pretty big warm-up in the southern U.S. In the end, what that typically leads to is a very sharp north-south temperature gradient across the Midwest, with very cold air in the north, very warm air in the south. That is a recipe for a winter storm or two. But again, this is all 10 to 14 days out, and until then, there's just not a whole lot going on.
Hey, thanks so much.
You're welcome, Todd.
That, of course, is Mike Tenora. He is with T-Storm Weather in Chicago. I'm Todd Gleason.